This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
You are stuck with me today. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر
نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله، فقد أمرنا الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد. In this auspicious occasion and the month that we're in, it only befits that we try to understand a little bit more about none other than Habib Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we have mentioned from this minbar as well as from the masjid many times, that there are five sciences that a person needs to equip themselves with, acquaint themselves with, for them to be able to better understand Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From those sciences are the science of seerah, which is the study of the chronological life of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as are the science of shama'il, which is the characteristics of the physical characteristics as well as the embodiment of the good characteristics within the that of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such as sidq and amana and hishma and karam and all of these qualities. Likewise is the science of dala'il, the evidentiary grounds on which you and I can prove to ourselves that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hatman, without a doubt, was the true prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from those are the sciences of fada'il, which is the superiority of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam above all the other anbiya in every single aspect. Such as it is mentioned that Isa alayhi salam, he would bring dead to life. And they say that for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, mu'jizatuhu a'azam. His mu'jiza was greater because he gave life to something that never had life. The tree that cried. So these are fada'il. And we understand the superiority of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Similarly, the last science is the science of khasa'is. These are exclusive rules that only pertain to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I.e., it is Sharia, but Sharia that is exclusive to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For example, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he never gave adhan. And the ulama they mentioned for that is the reason he didn't give adhan is if he had given the adhan and he would have said, Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, every single person that stayed behind and did not come for salah would have become a kafir. So from the rahmah to the ummah, he never gave the adhan. As was the case that he prayed 3 nights taraweeh, and he realized that, oh my God, he knows how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala operates. Allah never told him to do that. But for rahmah for you and I, he did not come out on the 4th night. Because he knew that if he had come out on the 4th night, Allah would have made taraweeh fard on us. That's a different story that we have made taraweeh fard on ourselves and we don't come for Isha prayers. That's a different story altogether. Today, we're going to look into the science of dalail, the evidentiary grounds. As for the shama'il, we have a class that takes place every Thursday. It's recorded. Every single lecture of it has been recorded from day one. We are going through the book of Shama'il al-Tirmidhi, the 400 ahadith that describes the inner and the external characteristics of Prophet ﷺ, and we're taking our sweet time explaining it. So that, it is done in English for every single person to come إلى يوم القيامة بإذن الله تعالى. Now, علم الدلائل comes from the word دليل. دليل means evidence. These are evidences that existed. Evidences in form of visions that people saw. Evidences in forms of what Prophet ﷺ or Anbiya before were told about Rasulullah ﷺ. Evidences that everyone that was connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were signs and mu'jizat that took place in them because of Rasulullah before his birth. And the ulama, they have categorized all of these dala'il, all of these evidentiary grounds into 3 categories. There's category number 1, these are called irhasat wal bisharat qabla al-wilada. These are signs and little shimmers of hope that Allah allowed the community and everybody around to see before he sallallahu alayhi wasallam arrived in this earth. Then there were mu'jizat fi hayatihi, and there were things that took place in his life. So there were things that took place in his life. These mu'jizat, when we say the word mu'jiza, it comes from this word ajiz, or it comes from an Urdu word ajiz. Main aajiz ho gaya is cheez se. I became incapacitated. I could not do anything. So, mu'jiza is where our human power to interact and control with this universe ends and Allah's power starts. And He in His will can do whatever. And those mu'jizat are in the category, this is a small tangent for aqeedah, everything in this life is going to have a cause and an effect. A cause and an effect. And the link between this cause and effect is also Allah's link. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when mu'jiza takes place, it takes place when an effect, a cause exists, and that cause does not produce the anticipated effect. Such as Ibrahim alayhi salam had a sharp knife. He split the boulder in two with that knife, but it did not cut the neck of Ismail alayhi salam. So this was the sabab, the cause, but it did not have the effect. That's a mu'jiza. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can do that. And reverse that. The cause existed, but the effect was reversed. قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا Fire existed. It should have burned. It was burning for every single one except for Ibrahim alayhi salam. So these are called mu'jizat, i.e. this universe responds to you and me in a form of aada, in a form of a repetitive, reliable manner every single time. But when it falls out of the norm, خارق العادة, it becomes a mu'jiza. So there were mu'jizat that took place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there were karamat. There were karamat and ikhbarat after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. So he told us of things, but he never got to see those things take place. But they are taking place in our time today. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in a dream of somebody after his death. And as is mentioned in many of the books of Ibn al-Qayyim, Ibn Taymiyyah, Bayhaqi, Shu'ub al-Iman, so many books have mentioned this, that there were credible sources of scholars who saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicating, i.e. for example, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in the dream of one of the Khalifa and said, my uncle Hamza is drowning in the qabr, go save him. So when they went, they found that the qabr of, there was a under water that was flowing into the graves of all the shuhada of Uhud. And they took all their bodies out, and then they removed the water, and they solidified it, and they put a surrounding around it so no water can go in. Rasulullah told them that. Right? So this is called karamat after the life of Rasulullah SAW. And we as Muslims, we believe in all. Right? Other than the guy who asks you for paying £50 and he will give you a karama, that's the person you need to run away from. Now, the first part, al-irhasat, things that took place before the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I hope that I'm able to complete this before the end of time. If not, then I don't want to skip it because I think it's very important for us to. Because today, sadly, belief in Rasulullah is something that is being pushed so hard on this generation as an optional thing. We really don't know if the hadith actually existed. How it was codified 120 years after Rasulullah. How do we know this is true? How can we build our deen on this? I mean, there is interpretive, you know, we can actually say that it's not in the Quran, so we really don't need to follow. And these type of sentiments, and sadly, because of the confusion and nobody actually explicitly talking about these things on the minbar, there's an entire generation that is getting confused. They don't know. They're like, oh, maybe you're right. Like, you know, Allah says in the Quran that I need to follow Allah and His Messenger. There's no mention of hadith. Why should we even follow hadith? Why should we study the life of Rasulullah? So the first one is things that the society and the environment around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam witnessed before he entered in this world. There are the famous stories that you all know, right? The story of Buhayra, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there. But what about when he was a small child and he went and he saw, this is in his lifetime. What about prior to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So those, i.e. things that were told to the community before Rasulullah's birth, fall under two categories. There's a category in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we get to know, fi kutub as-sabiqa, books of the previous nations, in which there is a mention of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or mention of somebody who is going to come, and you must follow, ya'ti min ba'd ismuhu Ahmad. It is mentioned in their books. Sheikh Hussein al-Jasr, he wrote his thesis. His thesis is called Ar-Risala al-Hamadiyah. His thesis is called the Praiseworthy Message. In that, he documented more than 110 verses, statements, scrolls, manuscripts from Jews, Christians, Hindus, and Buddhists in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned. Our khutbah topic is not on that, but again, there's enough books that have been written on that. Then, the second category of things that were told prior to his death were incidences of people in Makkah that interacted. And the most powerful of those is the one that we're going to mention over here from Khasa'is al-Kubra. He says that Ibn Asakir, he says, Abu Bakr, qala Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he's narrating this after he becomes a khalifa. He says, kharajtu ila Yaman qabla an yab'atha an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I went to Yemen before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. فَنَزَلْتُ عَلَى شَيْخٍ. I was hosted by a sheikh, an old man. مِنْ أَزْدِ شَنُوءَ. He was from a Yemeni tribe of أَزْدِ شَنُوءَ. عَالِمٌ. He was عَالِمْ. قَدْ قَرَأَ كُتُبْ. He had read lots of books of the Jews and the Christians. And it was mentioned about him in the qariya, in that village, they said that he had lived for more than 300 years. And we know this for a fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that umam alladhina qablakum, before you were people and generations who lived for hundreds and hundreds of years. Amma a'maru ummati, but as for after I come, my ummah is going to be ma bayna 60 wa 70. We're going to be between 60 to 70. But the nations before was a normal thing, 400 or 500. So he was a very old man. And he asks, he looked at Abu Bakr radiallahu an, and he says, "Ahsibuka Hirmiyan." I think that you're from Hirmiyan, i.e. you're next to the Haram, you're by the Kaaba area. He said, "Qala na'am." "Wa'ahsibuka Qurashiyan." And I can judge by looking at you that you're from Quraysh. فَقَالَ أَبُو بَكْر نَعَمْ. قَالَ أَحْسِبُكَ تَيْمِيًا. You are from Banu Taym. فَقَالَ أَبُو بَكْر نَعَمْ. I mean, this is the first time meeting Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. فَقَالَتْ بَقِيَتْ لِي مِنْكَ وَاحِدًا. I've got only one other question that I need to ask you. I mean, like, this deep down inside, I need to ask you this. قَالَتْ مَا هِيَ. قَالَ تَكْتَشِفْ لِي عَنْ بَطْنِكَ. Can you raise your shirt? I want to see your torso. I want to see your stomach. قُلْتْ لِمَاذَاكْ. Why do you want to see that? قَالَ أَجِدُ فِي عِلْمِ الصَّادِقِ. I find in the true narrations that I have been told, أَنَّ نَبِيًّا, there is going to be a Nabi. يَبْعَثُ فِي الْحَرَمِ. This Nabi is going to come in Haram. يُعَاوِنُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. He is going to be from the tribe that takes care of Kaaba. يُعَاوِنُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. فَتَى. And he says, وَيُعَاوِنُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. Sorry, I made the mistake. يُعَاوِنُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. That he is going to be helped by two people. Fata, a young person, wa kahilun, and a person in his old age, i.e. over 40. Wa amma al-fata, as for the young person who's going to support him, fakhawadun ghamaratun difa'ul mu'dilat. He is going to be somebody who's willing to get into arguments and battle, and he's going to have energy, i.e. who? Ali radiallahu anhu. And there is going to be a person, kahilun. He is going to be an older person, more calm and composed. Abyad, he is going to be white. Nahif, he is going to be skinny. Ala batnihi, on his stomach. Shamatun, there's a birthmark. Wa ala fakhidhihi yusra, and on his left thigh, alamatun. Wa ma alayka an turiyani, and when he sees this person, he sees that فَقَدْ تَكَامُلْتْ لِي فِيكَ صِفَةٌ إِلَّا مَا خُفِي عَلِي. Then I will know exactly if you are that person. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he lifts his, obviously they didn't have sharia, so he lifts his thighs and he shows him the sign on the thigh and he shows him the sign on the stomach. And this person, he says فَكَشَفْتُ لَهُ عَنْ بَطْنِي فَرَآ شَامَةً سَوْدَى فَوْقَ سُرَّتِي. It was right above his belly button. فقام. This person, he got up. فقال أنت هو ورب الكعبة. You are the one by the قسم of كعبة. You will be the one who will be supporting Abu Bakr. Now imagine Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's state. He hears this. They don't know any Anbiya that have ever come into Arabs. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, فذهب سيدنا أبو بكر في التجارة. So Abu Bakr, he carried on. ثم رجع. The story continues. He comes back. ثم رجع إلى الكاهن. He comes to this person. فقال له الكاهن. Another sorcerer was there. This time another person. And that sorcerer, he says, أخشى, I'm afraid, أن يدركني الموت. I'm about to die. ولا أتمكن من رؤية النبي. And I will not be able to see the Nabi. I'm really afraid that I will die before the Nabi is going to come. وعندما وصل سيدنا إلى فقد ألفت قصيدة في مدحه. This kahin, the sorcerer who is sitting there, he says, I have written poetry in praising him before even he has arrived. Take this with you. And when he comes, and when he arrives, give this to him from me as a gift. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, on that same journey, he comes back. وعندما وصل سيدنا أبو بكر إلى مكة أخبره أهل الندوة. The people and the leaders, they said, أهل الندوة, they said, إلحق بصاحبك. Go and check your friend out. He's gone crazy. He's saying some weird stuff. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الخبر. When Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه came, Rasulullah told him what happened. فقال له الخبر, that, you know, Jibreel came and this happened. And Rasulullah said about Abu Bakr, he said, I called every person I called to Islam, they hesitated a little bit. And then they eventually accepted. Except Abu Bakr. Ma in qultuhu aslam. I said, this is the case, he said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. That's just one of the alamat that was prior to the birth, prior to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On the night that he was born, I had mentioned all of this, but as a repetition in the last khutbah, the 14 balconies of Rome fell. The fire of Majus, the fire extinguished. The star came out in the middle of the night. Amina radiallahu, Amina, she saw a light that was emanating from her. And Uthman, she was another woman that was there. She expresses to us a qasida. This is an I'lam al-Nubuwa. She says to us that something strange happened that night when I was in that room. فقال شهدت ولادة آمينة. I was there in the room when Amina was giving birth. برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He was giving birth to Rasulullah. وكان ليلا. This was a night. فما شيئا أنظر إليه من البيت. There was nothing that I laid my eyes on and I looked upon. Illa nur. It was all illuminated with light. Wa innani anzuru ila najm. It's as if I was looking at a star. Tadnu. It was getting closer and closer to me because of the intensity of the light. Wa inni aqulu lataqa'anna alayhi. And I was like afraid that the star is about to fall on me. Like she was afraid that this light is eventually going to take over me. So these were some of the signs that took place before he sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in this earth. And the hadith in this are lots and lots and lots. For example, the hadith of Hassan ibn Sabit, where Hassan ibn Sabit, he says what? He says, I was in Medina. Hassan ibn Sabit was in Medina. وَإِنِّي لَغُلَامٌ يَافِعٌ. I was a young boy, i.e. يَافِعٌ means somebody between the age of 8 to 10. I was between 8 to 10. أَعْقِلُ مَا سَمِعْتُ. I had the intellectual capacity to be able to hear a statement and I can understand. I.e. I was not like a dumb kid. Like if somebody said something, I'm able to understand language. He said, فَإِذَا سَمِعْتُ يَهُودِيًا. I was in Medina, in Yathrib. This was before Medina. And I heard a Yahudi person, a Jew person, started screaming in the streets of Medina. Ya ma'ashar al-Yahud. Oh, Jewish people. Ya ma'ashar al-Yahud. Oh, Jewish people. And he's going around in Medina screaming. Hatta ijtama'u ilayhi. Everyone gathered around him. فَقَالُوا لَهُ وَيْلَكْ مَالَكْ. Woe unto you, what's wrong with you? قَالْ, he said, طلع الليل نجم أحمد. Tonight, I saw the star of Ahmed come out. صلى الله عليه وسلم. الذي ولد, and he is born. Now, the Jews were confused because they had been telling the Arabs, Al-Aus wal-Khazraj, that just wait. You wait till the day the last first Nabi comes, and then we will show you who we are. They had been warning them. They had been telling them that, you know, when this Nabi comes, we will be the first ones who will be telling you about this. Allah mentions this about the Quran. And then it happens to be that this person, i.e. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was not from them. And as it is mentioned, that when they heard about it, and when they first time saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Safiyyah bint Huyay ibn Akhtab, he was the leader, and he was from the lineage of Musa alayhi salam. He saw Rasulullah and three other Jewish leaders, and they'll talk to one another quietly. And Safiyyah overheard, because she was a daughter, she heard. And she says, and I heard my father say, Ahuwa huwa, is he like really he? And then the other person says, Naam, huwa huwa. He said, huwa huwa. The other guy's like, are you sure that's him? And they said, Wallahi huwa huwa. So they all looked at Huyay ibn Akhtab and he said, what are you going to do then? And Huyay ibn Akhtab said, I have decided that I will fight him till death. Sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. If I can ask the brothers to please move up, as it's getting filled at the back. There's lots of gaps in between, so if you can form the saf, if you can all stand up please. Form the saf so that we can have enough space. Barakallahu feek. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. In the few minutes that we have left, we will go over the next category. I don't think we'll have time to finish. The next one is معجزات. The معجزة, or the miracles that took place during the life of Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. I.e. these were miracles that happened during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These miracles are categorized into two categories. There were miracles that were metaphysical in nature. When I say the word metaphysical, they don't have physical reality. It was nothing. Rasulullah did not interact with the wood or anything. Nothing physical that exists in this world. It was a miracle of a metaphysical reality, which is the miracle of the Quran. And this Qur'an, it was revealed, i.e. this is called Ma'nawi or Qur'ani, Al-Mu'jiza Al-Qur'aniyya. This is the ultimate Mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every Nabi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down, every Nabi was sent down, and they were sent down with two things. They were sent down with the message and a miracle. They were sent down with the message and a miracle. And every single Nabi, their message may live past their life, but their miracle ends with them. Musa alayhi salam's miracle, the 9 signs that he was given, all of those ended with Musa alayhi salam. The signs of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the signs of Isa alayhi salam, all of these signs, they ended with Musa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, as the Nabi died, but their message stays on. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his message and his miracle, his ultimate miracle, is one, which is the miracle of the Quran. Why? Because this was the miracle that needs to carry on giving, because Rasulullah is no longer with us. So there has to be, there's no Nabi that is coming after. So his miracle had to be an everlasting miracle. And this is the miracle of Quran. It is mentioned by Sheikh Muhammad Nursi, you know, a very famous Badi'u Zaman, a Nursi, very famous scholar. He says, In his kitab, Mu'jizat al-Ahmadiyya, he said, إِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ جَاءَ يُخَاطِبُ أَرْبَعِينَ طَبَقْ مِنَ الْعُقُولِ النَّاسِ. In the Quran, if you study, you actually find that Allah has categorized the aql and intellect of individuals in 40 different categories. This goes back to our topics of tafsir and the various different types of tafsir. And one of the categories of tafsir is called tafsir, thematic tafsir, where you look at the theme of aql in the Quran and you study aql through the Quran and you find that it was 40 different types of aql that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. And the highest one of them, the highest aql of that, is where Allah says, هَلْ فِي ذَٰلِكَ قَسَمٌ لِذِي حِجْر, which is the highest form, ذو حِجْر. This is the highest form of aql, which has completion of kamal, of hikmah, wisdom, and ilm combined. Knowledge and wisdom combined. You find people that have a lot of wisdom but no knowledge. It's through experience. You have find people that have a lot of knowledge but absolutely no wisdom. And we ask Allah that He gives abundance in both to every single one of us. Abundance in knowledge and abundance in hikmah. So the Quran, it spoke to all different types of aql. The Quran spoke to seven different types of nafs that is mentioned in the Quran. Ammaratum bisu, lawama, mulhima, mutma'inna, radiya, mardiya. And the hadith, it says, al-kamila. An-nafs al-kamila. Right? A complete nafs. This is a nafs that is ready for being able to bless or being blessed by special wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us that status. Then it is also mentioned that different types of arwah, different types of ruh and their statuses, as well as different types of people that are mentioned in the Quran. All of these varieties, this Quran came down to speak to them. That is why you find that an alim of the alims, the most greatest of the scholars in the world, he never gets tired of the Quran. And the youngest of the youngest child, he never gets tired of the Quran. This mu'jiza of its khitab at every single level is so powerful and profound that until now, linguists and people that study language cannot decode that what is happening. And they will not be able to, because this is khariq al-'ada. This is something outside of the norm. It is Allah who controls this. So this is the mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was ma'nawi. Inshallah, in our next khutbah, if Allah gives us the tawfiq, we will go back and we will study the maddi, the physical miracles that took place. And these miracles were primarily for two reasons. One was that the iman of the believers had to be codified and affirmed. لِيُثَبِّتَ الْإِيمَانَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. And number two was that anybody who's a kafir, this was a response to their kufr. You don't believe in this? I'll split the moon for you. It was a response to their request. Tell us about this and that. Allah reveals the Quran with every detail about Yusuf alayhi salam, even the details that they did not even know. So these are different types of mu'jizat that if Allah gives us tawfiq, we'll study. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the ability to truly, truly connect with the message of the Quran. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He fills our hearts with the love of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us a true understanding of His janab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we're truly able to connect ourselves with Him so that when His name is mentioned, we feel the love of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. So that when His mention is mentioned in any of the majalis, our tongues without any conscious mind say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we become from those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to see Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our dreams before we leave this earth at least once in our lifetime. And we become from those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from those that other people see the life of Muhammad through us and his ways. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the end, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives all those who have passed away. There were multiple requests for dua requests. Again, there are 7-8 of them. I'm not going to do individual. We'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all those who are sick from our community or any other community across the world, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them shifa al-kamila. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates their status and forgives their sins because of the sickness. And for the two people who have lost their loved ones, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the best night ever of this dunya when they meet their Rabb. And Allah makes their grave a piece of paradise for them. And Allah allows them to have steadfastness in the questioning and makes them from those victorious ones who say, "Oh Allah, bring the qiyamah because I want to enter Jannah." أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِلِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Please make sure you fill in the lines first.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an